Hi, I'm Pastor Phil Grotenheis of the Phoenix United Reformed Church. Welcome to the program Abounding Grace. Grace is a word that's frequently used in Christian circles. We talk about God's sovereign grace. We rejoice in God's generous grace. We sing the hymn Amazing Grace. But what is grace, and what are its implications for our lives? In the program you're about to hear, Pastor Chris Gordon unpacks the various dimensions of God's grace, and in doing so, he brings us into a deeper understanding and appreciation of its beauty for our lives. If you appreciate this program, and you'd like to find a church that reflects its perspective, we invite you to worship with us. Our Sunday morning worship begins at 9:30, and our afternoon worship begins at 5:30. You can also check us out on the web at phoenixurc.org. Again, that's phoenixurc.org. Here now is Pastor Chris Gordon.
Direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, we're very grateful you've taken the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and yes, as always, very grateful to have this opportunity to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. We do invite you again, as always, to go to our website at agradio.org, and there are many resources there for you to learn more about who we are and what we believe. So do please make use of that website. Well, we have just recently gone through a season of considering the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know how you felt thinking about these things. If you celebrated and thought about Good Friday, and then, of course, on the third day that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. One of the things that I experienced at this time, I walked away from the Good Friday message that I gave, really feeling the offense of it. Think about it, dear listener. I'm telling a story of the Lord God, giving his son, sending his son that he might be put on a cross and to become the sacrifice and become the propitiation to satisfy the wrath of God. No man could pay for his own sin, but the message was that God did do that. God did punish his own son. God took him, split him open. And the only way we say that the Son of God, the only way we could be saved is that the Son of God and fully man, had to endure the extreme suffering and death of the cross. I was thinking to myself as I was preaching all of this and as I constantly give myself to preach the message of the cross, if I were an unbeliever, I would have asked, looking at this from an unbeliever's perspective, I would have asked, who believes all this stuff? This is madness. That is an offense that these Christians run around proclaiming sacrifice. It sounds barbaric. They run around telling them and their children about this brutality that God himself judged and poured out his wrath on his own son before the judgment seat. And not only is that what Christians claim, but if I were an unbeliever, I would stand back from this and say, they claim that this Jesus is God. Do they expect us to believe that God was put on the cross and crucified? Does anyone really believe this? If you have ever felt any of this, and let me just say, if the cross is being preached correctly, and you are looking at the brutal death, the sacrifice of the Son of God, you will have a certain kind of uncomfortability. It's not a nice event. It's an awful event. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, giving himself. And here, this Jesus becoming the sacrifice and suffering the horrible torments of the cross, both in body and in soul. If you've ever felt any of the uncomfortability of this, you understand why the Apostle Paul would characterize the Christian message as absolute foolishness to this world. In fact, he went further. He directly called the message of the cross an offense. An offense. And that's really important for the church to take into account today. There's nothing you can do to dress up the cross. There's nothing we can do to make the cross attractive to people. You can't tone it down. You can't pull out all the splinters. You got to tell the whole story. And it is gruesome. Imagine the Christians in the first century were called to preach this message of the cross, preach in a Roman environment where in the Romans, hey, they made their rulers gods and they put up marble statues everywhere of them. You're telling us to believe that this Jesus was crucified? You worship him as God. This is a very important point for understanding the text that we're looking at today on Abounding Grace. We're looking at Luke 24 and the disciples who in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus did not understand why Jesus had to die. And because of that, they didn't understand what the resurrection meant. And that is our great concern. How do you communicate this overwhelming truth when at its root, it is a completely offensive message? You can't dress it up. That's the problem. We want this to be inspiring and we want this to be welcoming, but the message we believe, dear listener, is unthinkable to this world. It makes no sense to this world. God would characterize this message himself as foolishness to this world, a stumbling block to people, an offense. And yet the claim of Christianity, the claim of the Christian message is that this is a matter of life and death. And we want everyone to understand what we want people to understand. What Abounding Grace Radio wants you to understand is this. It's this message, when your mind is opened by God to believe this message of the cross of Christ, this is the message God saves you with. Saves you from the wrath to come, saves you from all of your sins. It's not always just the unbeliever that I'm concerned about. The problem in Luke chapter 24 being set before us is that there were followers of the Lord who also stumbled over the message of the cross. All they could accept was a message of, well, you might say glory. A message that was positive, a message that didn't deal with all of this. And because they didn't understand this, we see these disciples having come to a crisis in life because Jesus didn't fit in their minds what the Savior should be. This is really important today. And they too needed to be corrected as to what Christianity is. And I believe the same problem prevails today. So the question before us is this: how does the knowledge of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ become understanding? That's what the Lord is teaching us in this passage this morning. What does all of this really mean? Maybe you're tuning in right now and you're uncertain about this whole Christian thing. You're thinking about it. You've heard the claims, but no one's ever really explained to you why was the death of Christ necessary? And here were all of these Christians celebrating the resurrection. What does that mean? What does the resurrection declare to us? Why did that have to happen? These are the questions I want to look at on Abounding Grace today and tomorrow. The scene in Luke chapter 24 is one of the most dramatic in the Bible, and this scene will unpack and answer these questions for us. It's the kind of scene we love to study. The first thing we read in Luke 24, verse 13, is this. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Now, this may not strike you as anything odd, but this is telling us a lot. These two men are deeply sorrowful over the fact that their Messiah has died. And we find here that the issue for them is one of being slow to believe. They are deeply struggling with their faith in the Lord, their fears, because the reality in front of them seems to be that everything having to do with Jesus of Nazareth has turned into the worst possible outcome. And they are walking to Emmaus. They are leaving Jerusalem in sorrow. The imagery that you have in Luke 24 is that these two men are walking away brokenhearted. The death of Christ was a stumbling block. And so they are talking. As they are talking, they're confused. I think the conversation must have gone a lot like this. This Jesus did all of these powerful things, Cleopas. He raised someone from the dead. He healed people of sickness. He had compassion for the lost. And he fed people, fed the 5,000. But then now that it's all said and done, his own life got taken from him. Did you see that bloody crucifixion that he had to endure? It makes no sense. And worst of all, our rulers did this to him. He did only right. He helped people. He healed them. He promoted peace. He forgave. And hey, this is the end of it. No more. And as this is going on, as they're thinking through these things, in verse 14 of Luke 24, we read this. Jesus himself, the resurrected Lord, drew near and walked with them. Now, the really important interjection the Holy Spirit gives to us comes here in verse 16. It's just crucial to understanding this text. In verse 16, this is what we read. But their eyes were restrained from recognizing him. God had blinded them to see his son. Why? Think of the drama here. He walks up to them. What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Cleopas answers in shock. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have happened there in these days? Have you been living under a rock? You haven't heard and known the things that have happened? And Jesus said to them, what things? I love that response. What things? Tell me about them. The Lord desires that they would work through their problem, that they would explain their problem. And so they do. What is their problem? The things they say concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people, and our chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. These two men are in pain. They gave him the death of a criminal, the blows, the stripping naked, and they crucified him. And here comes the issue. But we were hoping he would redeem Israel. And you see, now it's the third day. He's nowhere to be found. Now, I want you guys to think about for a minute on Abounding Grace, verse 10 of Luke 24. Mary has been to the tomb. She saw the angels, and so she runs back to the disciples. And what do you read in verse 11 but this? And it seemed to them like an idle tale. Nonsense. And they did not believe. What a problem. They, the disciples, did not believe. And that unbelief was a result that they didn't understand why Jesus had to do this. Now, this is a really crucial moment, and we have seen this throughout the scripture. What do we do when faith does not correspond to reality? It's the third day. He's not here. And listen to what they're telling Jesus. Our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. Now, what strikes you about that? You get the sense here that the death of Christ, the way it happened by their own rulers, was a mistake. That it was completely out of the control of God. This is an Easter tragedy. These two men think the whole thing escaped. Jesus was accidentally killed. And you stand back from this for a minute and you say, well, wait a minute. Didn't they know this? The problem compounds when you think of what Jesus had said to them over and over again during the earthly ministry. What did he say over and over? He said this, the Son of Man, they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Over and over, he said this in the ministry. And then it compounds when you think, well, what did they believe about the Old Testament? What did they think the Old Testament was? You know what Luke records right after Jesus said that they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he'll rise again? Luke 18:34. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. What you have in front of you is Christ's disciples without understanding. And this was recorded for us. And now the Lord has purposely blinded their eyes to show us the great problem. The great problem came out. Remember what they said? We were hoping he was the one who would deliver Israel. We had some glimmer of hope, being that it's the third day, because he said he would rise, but he's not here. Redeem Israel. This is what we were looking for. In what way? If they didn't understand why Jesus had to die and rise again, what were their expectations for Jesus? Well, remember when Jesus was born, Zechariah's prophecy would that he would come and deliver them from the hands of their enemies. To think that Israel should be under these Gentile Romans, this was finally the one God had sent. Just like Moses, to free them from oppression, to restore the kingdom to Israel. See the problem? What kind of restoration? They said, our leaders took out God's Messiah who would free us from oppression. He was the one. What do you have as a misunderstanding here, dear listener? Jesus dealt with this kind of ignorance all over the place. Remember in John, they wanted to make him king? Why? Because of the signs he was doing. They were off the charts. They'd say things like, Moses gave us bread to eat. What sign are you going to give us? This is what they wanted from Jesus. Prosperity and national restoration again of the nation of Israel. You know, we're a lot like this in the United States, aren't we? We really think that God should do the same thing today. Restore us from oppression in the United States. I fear today this same problem. We are celebrating, you know, all of these events of Christ's life, death, and resurrection without understanding. And what does it look like when there's no real understanding? Listen, these men believed in some sense that Jesus would appear on the third day. But with what kind of expectation? An earthly answer to the problem that there is no peace. I was listening to the Pope's Easter address on Sunday, and let me sum that up. This was his first Easter address, and I went on the news articles, and I read the address, and I looked at carefully what was being said, but this is how the news article summed it up. He called for world peace, respect for the environment, and a diplomatic solution to the crisis on the Korean Peninsula. Another pope in previous years said this, while in heaven all is peace and gladness, alas, it is not so on earth, as he lamented hunger, disease, war, and violence, and he prayed that the light of peace and of human dignity may overcome the darkness of division, hate, and violence. Now, those may be good things, but is that what the resurrection is about? That's the question. It's the same misunderstanding. I wonder how Jesus is being presented today. Is Jesus' resurrection being presented as a ticket back to health and happiness and prosperity? One of our own political leaders said this, it's about coming together to solve long-standing problems, to ensure our children will have the same chances, the same hope, the same freedoms we've had, he said. Listen to this. These are the blessings we celebrate during the rites of Easter and Passover. Really? That's what this is about, restoring the kingdom to the United States? Is that what this is about? Solving problems, coming together, giving our children new hope? Is that what Easter and resurrection's about and Passover? He said this, "It's time to unite in prayer and celebration, to renew traditions, to lift up our spirits, to tell old stories, and remind us how trials and suffering can be overcome with courage and resolve." This is what people think the resurrection's about. And it's the same mentality in these two to the road to Emmaus. We were hoping that Jesus would now restore the kingdom to Israel, that he would now give it back its former glory. That's what we want. Remember in Acts, this is what the disciples struggled with right up until the Holy Spirit came. Are you now, Jesus, going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You want to say to those who are looking for that today, are you listening to the scriptures here? They're dealing with that. Jesus said, you are not to worry about that, but you are to go about and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. So right before Christ ascended, this is what he was dealing with. This is really important today because these two on the road to Emmaus have missed the purpose of why Jesus had to come. All of these years, they didn't get it. This is their problem. This is what Jesus is dealing with. Dear listener, what good is it for Jesus to show himself, his resurrected, glorified body, to those who have no understanding of why he had to go through this? It's really important, isn't it? Now you understand why the verse says that they were blinded. They couldn't see him. If Jesus had shown himself with that kind of understanding that Jesus is just about restoring the kingdom to Israel and building up our great American dreams, well, hey, he rose. He can do it now. No, they needed to be blinded because they didn't understand why he had to go through all of this. So Jesus rises from the dead. Notice he wasn't out in the Roman Praetorium showing himself. He didn't appear to Caesar. He comes to these two little struggling disciples, knowing that they don't understand correctly. What does he do? He blinds them so that they can't see him. And at this point, we should all be asking the question, why didn't he just show himself? What is it going to take for them to see? How are their eyes going to be opened? And this is a really important point today on Abounding Grace that I want us to think about. When you misunderstand the purpose of Jesus, when you don't understand why he had to come, and you have wrong expectations of his life, death, and resurrection, you are setting yourself up for mass disillusionment because the world is not getting better. And I think everyone realizes that turning on the news. Disease, wars and rumors of wars, sickness, earthquakes in various places, economic instability like we haven't seen in how long, things are getting worse. And if we think that Jesus is the ticket to get back our American dream, as I hear people saying all the time, as I hear political leaders pitching him as, you are dead wrong. They didn't understand this, and notice they're walking away sad. We can see all of this conflict going on in the world. We can see all the values of Christianity being stripped away, and we can become really discouraged forgetting what the real message is that Jesus is advancing. Jesus told us that in this world we're going to have tribulation. Jesus told us, do not lose heart, do not fear. All of these kind of things must come to pass because the judgment's coming. When you see the evil escalating in our society the way that it is, realize judgment day is coming soon. That's the message of Scripture. And this is so important. What is Jesus doing here? What does he want his church to understand? What does he want you to understand, dear listener? And that's why I think Luke 24 is so important for the Christian church today. Because they didn't understand the purpose of his coming, because they didn't understand that, in turn, they were completely confused about the resurrection. And that led to discouragement, fear, and sadness. And often in this life, we struggle with fear because our expectations of what Jesus should do for us are not his. He's got a different agenda and a different plan. He's not about helping us to become the best we can be? And do we really understand the blessing that he has given to us? What is the real blessing that he has given to us? What is the real news he once understood? Why has he left us here? What has he secured for us? What we're going to see in this as we come back to this tomorrow is that these two men on the road to Emmaus struggled because they were slow to believe. Slow to believe what? How are eyes opened? Well, Jesus says they're slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What was the message of the prophets? That the Lord Jesus Christ had to come. The entire Old Testament tells us that. He had to do what? He had to die because our sins had rendered us completely helpless before God. And without a payment, without the cross, without satisfaction, we perish in hell. And when that gets in our hearts that he came to fulfill and to save us from all of our sins and deliver us and provide a righteousness that we can share in, that message, the resurrection, declares the victory of what has been accomplished so that we might go forward in hope. Oh, we need that message recovered today. Let's give ourselves, dear Christians, to know it, to understand it, and believe it. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and your financial support. Our web address is agradio.org, and there are many resources there for you, agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the program, Abounding Grace. In this weekly program, Pastor Chris Gordon tackles a number of interesting and relevant subjects that touch upon our lives. We're glad to partner with him and the Abounding Grace team as they bring the antidote for our fallen world, namely God's amazing and abounding grace. I'm Phil Grotenheis, pastor of the Phoenix United Reformed Church. If you'd like to know more about God's grace and how it impacts your life, I invite you to worship with us. We're a church committed to God's generous grace and the reformational perspective you hear on this program. Our morning worship is at 9:30, and our afternoon worship is at 5:30. I also invite you to check us out on the web at phoenixurc.org. Again, that's phoenixurc.org. God bless you as you continue to tune into Abounding Grace and the teaching ministry of Pastor Chris Gordon.